They say to fully enjoy life, you should collect experiences, not things. Physical things you buy become outdated. They lose their appeal. But an experience lasts forever and grows over the years. That's why I want you to know about the Mervis Diamonds South Africa Safari coming this March 2025. Enjoy a five-star luxury adventure with native South African and longtime fixture on the DC diamond scene, Ronnie Mervis himself, leading the group. I've been on the trip twice, and it is spectacular. You'll fly to Cape Town, see the legendary Table Mountain, visit wine country and the spectacular coast. Then it's off to the Kapama Game Reserve to see the Big Five in their natural habitat: lion, elephant, Cape buffalo, leopard, and rhino. Finally, a tour of the Cullinan Diamond Mine in Johannesburg to see where the sparkly magic comes from. All told, 11 luxury days on the ground, all-inclusive, for just $6,300 a person. This is it, people. The banger safari trip of a lifetime. I've been twice with Ronnie. You will not be disappointed. I guarantee it. Book now. Space is limited, and it's filling up quick. For more information, go to MervisDiamond.com/safari or call travel consultant John Almeida at 888-722-4872 and tell him I sent you. Remember, life is short. Collect memories, not things. As the leaves turn and the air gets crisp, it is time for some serious action. Bet on Lord Football, from heart-pounding college rivalries to the bone-crushing NFL matchups. But that's not all. The ice is getting cold and the courts are heating up. Get in on the NHL face-off and NBA tip-offs as both leagues kick off their seasons. And if you want to get really nuts, bet on the election. Won't that be fun? If you've been waiting for the right time to get in, the time is now. Make your winning move today. Sign up at mybookie.ag. Use promo code ZABE, Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo to be eligible for all promotions. Once again, promo code ZABE to get in on the sweet action. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere with MyBookie.
I might get me a whiskey, Doc. You want a whiskey?
No, I do not want a fucking whiskey.
Play some poker. Drink some whiskey.
Whiskey, rum, snatch.
Oh, yeah. Never turn down whiskey. Joining me now, world-renowned whiskey expert, competition taster, critic collector, prolific author of The Brown, as well as other rum and other spirits, just not vodka.
Whiskey for my man. Beer for my horse.
Podcaster and performer of live whiskey tasting shows in Vegas and other big cities, Fred Minnick. Fred, you and I are both going to be in New Orleans in 48 days. Tick tock, tick tock. Super Bowl XXV. I don't even know what the numbers are now. It's up there. But we're going to be there. I can't wait to see you. And you got a big event there. Tell people what you're doing down there.
Yeah, so I do an annual big game party wherever the Super Bowl is. Last year, my event was named the third best party of Super Bowl week by USA Today. So Shaq and Gronk beat me out for the top spot.
Oh, Shaq, yeah. Gronk, Fred Minnick.
Pretty good
company, though.
I'm hoping we crack, we go up a notch. But basically, I've got a really special intimate event. Dierks Bentley is my headlining performer, and I'll have all kinds of ridiculously good bourbon there. And
wow.
We're gonna have like 10 distilleries all set up, ready to showcase their top products. And then in the VIP section, we're gonna have stuff like Michter's 20-year-old, Pappy Van Winkle 15-year-old, the things that you can't get. And the crazy thing about my events is that the celebrity list requests that we get of people wanting to come in, we get I would say probably about 1,000 names of people who want to come to the event because they want access to the whiskey that they can't get. And it's one of those where I'm like, I just want to make sure you're a real whiskey fan. So we've had like Marcellus Wiley came last year.
Okay.
He's a big whiskey head. We usually get like Ian Rappaport and Mike Garofalo from NFL Network.
Nice guys, so but let's not put them in the same category, though, as Dierks Bentley and others. But go ahead.
That's right. Sure, that's right. I always geek out with the people who are break news like that.
I don't know why. You're a big football fan, big sports fan.
I am.
So but you get the, them wanting to get in as well. What do you pop quiz your VIPs? We have
some questions that we will send them because, you know, there's a charity connection to this. So this year our charity is Task Force Pelican, which is basically teaching combat veterans, you know, how to overcome PTSD through tasting and culinary skills, which that's what I did. You know, that's how I became a bourbon critic, is when I came home from Iraq, I got into taste mindfulness and it changed my life. And little did I know I would have a talent for it and could, you know, write books and taste for a living.
Right.
But so there's an actual like, you know, fundraiser component here to it. But, you know, we had last year we had Tom Sandoval, and I didn't even really know who Tom Sandoval was, but that got me.
I don't know who Tom Sandoval is. Oh, so that guy, I just Googled him. Handsome fella.
Yeah, he's part of this reality show called Vanderpump Rules, but he was he's in all kinds of controversy all the time, and he basically got me on the gossip pages. First time in my life, I was in like U.S. Weekly and like the ones at the checkout stands and all that, just because he was at my party, and and that's the kind of stuff that happens. Is like we get people like that there. But really, it's mostly people who want to check out great music, support a great cause, and have some incredible whiskey. And one rising star musician is going to be there. Her name is Dani Rose, and her music was played on Yellowstone this season.
Oh, yes. I've heard of her. Very buzzy talent that's hopefully going to blow up here soon.
You may recall I put her Instagram in our special little chat. I said, hey, should I book her? And you came back and said, you better book her.
Oh, yeah.
So I booked her.
I'm glad I could help out in any way possible. I think I took one look at her and said, I don't know what her music is like, but she looks like she's okay. So
she's so talented. Yeah.
All right. So here's the essential question, I'm sure, for my listeners right now, saying, this sounds wonderful, Zabe and Fred, but I'm just a regular douchebag. Why do I need to know about this? Like, this is something I couldn't possibly go to, or is it?
I think it is. I mean, the hard thing about any kind of Super Bowl event is lodging, you know, the hotels.
Forget that part anyway. Can you buy your way into this charity event if you're a regular schmo?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Okay. Anybody can get a ticket. Just go to my website, fredminnick.com. Or the ticketing platform, which is etix.com.
Nice.
And you can find out all kinds of stuff there, and you'll find the information. The show this year is called Fred Minnick Live. It's presented by the New Orleans Bourbon Festival.
Nice.
So we're gonna have cigars there, music, gourmet food, more
what
whiskey.
Day of the week, what day of the week of Super Bowl week down there?
It's Friday.
Friday night.
It's Friday night. Okay. My parties used to start at Wednesday, got to Thursday, and now I'm in the prime area.
Ooh.
And the event is at the Marriott warehouse in the Arts District, and we're the only non-NFL or Fox Sports or ESPN to have a spot on Friday or Saturday or Sunday in this hotel area, because that's right around where the NFL headquarters is going to be.
Wow.
And you kind of get, you know, this is my third year doing it. You kind of get like sniff tested by the NFL to make sure that, you know, you're legit and you can do these things. And there'll be owners, you know, owners have showed up at my party. Last year I went and then they invite me to their parties. Last year I went to the Raiders party.
No way.
It was pretty epic.
Mark Davis, huh?
Yeah, Mark Davis had, man, and he had he had a whole crowd around him. It was really cool. It was
billionaires
it was so cool to see.
Always yeah. do, Fred. They run with a crowd, usually a beautiful crowd, even if you're not maybe, say, GQ material, which I'd say Mark right. Davis, not quite GQ material. But
great personality, though.
Oh,
great
I know. I hear he's, for those who have had a chance to intersect with him, they say he is one of the more regular of billionaire NFL owners. Probably because
he's
technically...
I've never seen so much security in my life. That party was packed with security.
I can imagine. So let me guess the price, knowing that it's the Super Bowl, knowing that mm-hmm. this is a high-end event, knowing that there's a charity component. So you're doing this to raise money for a great cause. So this is going to be like right. a high-end golf scramble where the price mm-hmm. is going to sound high, but you got to realize the venue you're in. I'm going to say $1,000.
For a general ticket, we're less than that. The VIP ticket is $800. And
wow. So what is general admission?
$400.
I mean, come on now, people. You know you're yeah. helping a great cause, which is near and dear to Fred's heart, as you just heard his testimony on that. And it's going to be a great party if you're down there. So just file this away for all my listeners who may have a team that is gunning to make it to the Super Bowl, and just say, look, if my team is lucky enough to go, I'm going to make sure to have a ticket. But don't dawdle, because they will sell out at some point here soon. Yeah. Makes a great
Especially
Christmas
when
present.
Especially when the teams are figured out a little bit. That's the thing about the Super Bowl events. Like, you don't really sell tickets until it's narrowed down to about four teams. And then right now, the people who are buying are usually corporate buyers, and they're going regardless. But having been to several Super Bowls, people always say that it's just corporate people in the stands. I tell you what, especially Philadelphia, like, real fans come to these things.
Yes, especially depending on the fan base. And yeah. and yes, and if Philly makes it, believe me, that city will be besieged with those savages from Philadelphia and their fan base. They got to get their quarterback back to knowing what day of the week it is right now. That's their number one concern.
That is true. I'll tell you, their fans, after they lost to Kansas City, I was walking out with the whole mess of them, and all the girlfriends and wives were consoling the husbands while they were moping around like little boys, kicking trash cans and pushing down fences. It was the darndest thing I'd ever seen, because they it's like these ladies knew that they had one mission, and it was going to therapy mode for their husbands and boyfriends so they don't go to jail.
It's okay, settle down, it's not worth it, just ignore them, let's keep walking here. Yeah, for sure. Well, look, yeah. if you're struggling, you know, with a hotel, you could maybe stay in Slidell or Biloxi, or maybe up in Latimer, or maybe all the way down in a little place called Port Sulphur, which I've never been to, but God, it sounds awful. Port Sulphur. Ugh.
Ew.
Way down there in the bayou. I don't even know how you get there. Look at it. It's probably on an island, as I'm looking at Google Maps right now. Okay.
Yeah, a lot of alligators.
Yes, exactly. So we're going to talk a little bourbon here, and I want to also talk about your intersection with athletes and bourbon, because yeah. on the Fred Minnick podcast, you often have big-name athletes, many of them retired, that are now mm-hmm. dabbling around or fully into the bourbon game. And you were telling mm-hmm. me about Jay Cutler offline the other day, because mm-hmm. you had the chance to do a show with Jay Cutler. How was that?
You know, I found Jay was a very, this was before he got in trouble, but Jay was a very inquisitive person when it came to bourbon. Like, he really wanted to learn about it.
Right.
And he came into the conversation with some stuff, like, really excited to impress me about it. And
did his homework.
I was like, he did. And I was like, oh yeah, that sucks, I hate that glassware. And he's like, oh man, I was hoping you would like it. So it was one of those, like, he was like trying to impress me with his whiskey knowledge. And
right,
you know, I found him to be a really fun guy to talk to. He was really, really knowledgeable, really wanted to learn. The one thing I was a little embarrassed about, I didn't know that he didn't eat sweets. And so I was like dropping all these tasting notes, you know, and they weren't resonating with him. And so that was one of those interviews for me where I came out of it. I was like, did I screw up? Did I mess up? My mom was like, oh no, he's a diabetic or something. I was like, oh, shit.
Oh, so you're like, yeah, yeah, can like, you can tell the hints of chocolate or an overtone yeah. of peppermint. And he's like, well, I don't even know what that tastes like because I don't eat sweets.
Yeah, that's basically it. Exactly how it went down. And it just was it was a little weird for me afterward because it was one of those where it's like, well, I got to do better homework on my guests because I can't, you know, I should know if they're diabetic.
What? Well, I don't know about that. That's a bit much to ask. So what other athletes have you had interesting podcasts with when it comes to bourbons? And what athletes right now have their own lines that they're starting to put their label on the yeah. juice?
So I've had Peyton Manning on. So Peyton came on and he tried to use a lot of football analogies and was talking about like how, you know, they found the right quarterback for making their whiskey, which I believe they've all separated now. But they're still, you know, going through the motions and putting out Sweetens Cove. And that's a very good whiskey. It's just a high price point.
Sweetens Cove, by the way, is also a golf course in Tennessee that decided that the group of guys with Peyton Manning at the front of it decided we're going to do golf and our own whiskey. What could possibly go wrong? Well, the golf course lost all their greens last year, I believe, and they're shut down for 18 months trying to recover. And now the whiskey, you say, is falling apart as well?
I wouldn't say it's falling apart. I'd say they're having a reorganization.
Okay.
So they're still going. You know, I had a conversation with Drew Holcomb, who's one of the partners on there, and he's they're still kicking.
Okay, so when somebody says, I want to launch my own whiskey, there's a lot of different ways to, quote, skin the cat on that, so to speak.
Oh, absolutely.
You could be like when you told me about Conor McGregor and his whiskey, which was just outsourced juice that he slapped a label on and then started marketing, versus you could actually put some money behind trying to, you know, do it all yourself, right? And age it yourself and the whole operation. You better bring serious money to the table and have a lot of patience for that, right?
That's right. I mean, really, the best model would be Conor McGregor's model and not really care about the quality of the whiskey, but just pound and pound and pound and pound the marketing. And that's what he did. And, you know, I think he sold it for $570 million, you know, so, and really? he's still doing quite well with it. I mean, it's really, you could look at his life and say, that's probably the best thing he has going.
Well, right now he's in a lot of trouble with these recent court decisions against him and everything else. So, yeah, I remember you telling me you're like, it's bad whiskey.
it's horrible whiskey, but, you know, they were not trying to target me. They were not trying to target you. They were trying to target like
MMA fans.
You know, that 22-year-old MMA fan who's coming home from work and just, you know, wants support his like favorite fighter or, you know, someone adjacent. It's just, it's weird how the spirits world works. It's like the great whiskey doesn't always get rewarded. And you see it time and time again. And, you know, what Peyton and them tried to do, they came in at a time frame when the world was supporting that type of whiskey, but they came in at a super high price point. And I think that hurt them a lot. When they got their price point down, they started getting a little bit more appreciation. Another football player who understands the beverage game incredibly well is Charles Woodson. And Charles, he has a palate. Like, I mean, I would put him up as one of the top 100 tasters in the country for spirits, period.
Period. Beyond, not even just top 100 period. Athlete.
Yes.
Period. Okay.
Like, period. As, in terms of an athlete, he's the best. He's by far the best taster. He's got a brilliant palate and, you know, and they just, I got one of his bottles here somewhere. They just sent me, they've got a new release that they're putting out. That's basically three-year-old Green River. And it's like, I'm like, this is really friggin' good. Like, I don't know what the price point's going to be on it, but, it's really good.
So,
and they,
Charles Woodson's whiskey is called
Woodson whiskey.
Woodson whiskey. Woodson. Okay.
Yeah, but they've been playing around in the category, and I think they discovered that they can make more money in places like ready to drink products or bottled cocktails.
Oh, really?
And so And so I think they're moving more towards stuff like that. And that's just pure business. That has nothing to do with, like, you know, not doing well in whiskey. They just see that they're doing really well in one area, and they're, like, putting their eggs in that basket a little bit more. So they're a well-ran spirits company, and Charles has a brilliant, brilliant palate.
If Charles Woodson wanted to really lean in and win one of the highest awards for whiskey that's out there, what would that be? What's the highest award out there?
Well, I mean, I own a spirits competition, and I have my top 100. So I have to say it would either be mine, the top one, the Ascot Awards, my top 100.
Okay.
San Francisco World Spirits Competition. I think winning Whiskey Advocates Whiskey of the Year would move the needle. And I'd probably say the big spirits competition out of London. So those would be the few that I would think move the needle. But what moves the needle more than anything in spirits is the right person saying they like it at the right time. So, like, when Anthony Bourdain said he liked Pappy Van Winkle, that had a big moment for it. Like, it just authentic spirits, you know, authentic people saying they like something.
What was like Pappy? What was Pappy before Bourdain's endorsement? Was it still a revered?
I would say it was stuck in, like, the bourbon geek world.
Really?
So the price of
the bottles that are out there shot straight up after that, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Bourdain had a big play in that.
Just like Blanton's skyrocketed after it appeared in the FX series with
Justified. Yeah.
Yes. With, yeah. What's his name from Deadwood? Timothy Oliphant.
That's the best theory that we have for why Blanton's is so relevant, because no one can really point to any single moment. Because the whiskey's just okay.
Yeah. It's not the horsey on the top. It's got to be something more than just the collectible horsies on the top on the stopper. It's good. It's whatever. But yeah, that's fascinating to me. So what we need
then again,
to do,
never underestimate how ignorant a consumer base can be. You know, it could actually be the horsey. You never know.
I bought a bottle of Caddyshack, or no, Bushwood Bourbon, I believe it's called.
Okay, yeah.
And I don't know if Bill Murray's behind it or involved in it. I have to run downstairs to get it out of my cabinet to see. But I bought it for one reason and one reason only. I'm a golfer, but also it had this really heavy copper metal stopper in the shape of a golf ball on the top. So I hope you forgive me, Fred. Every now and then, I buy shit just based on the prettiness of the bottle.
Hey, if I saw a bottle that had, like, wrestling headgear on the top of it, I'd be all over that.
So if there was a Cale Sanderson bottle topper, you'd be all over.
Yeah, I'd probably go. Since I'm an Oklahoma State guy, I'd probably go more John Smith.
Oh right, okay, you know? Yeah.
But
Sanderson was Iowa.
He was Iowa State. He's the head coach of Penn State right now, and he's on one of those tears as a coach. Like, you know, they get it, you know, their third and fourth stringers would be all Americans everywhere else. In fact, one of their guys who could never start for Penn State transferred to Utah Valley and is already a top three or four person at his weight. His last name is Bearclaw, so awesome name.
Wow, yeah.
But he's gonna be an All-American at Utah Valley, and he couldn't even make the starting team at Penn State. That's how amazing they are.
That is so funny. By the way, Fred, you wrestled at Oklahoma State, correct?
Oh no!
High school wrestling.
I wrestled up to my freshman year, and when I got into high school, I basically started really focusing on my riding and had this big dream of becoming a rider. So I guess everything worked out. But
so you wrestled only up until your freshman year of high school, but you remain a big wrestling fan. And by wrestling fan, proper actual wrestling, not wrestling of the WWE variety. Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Are you at least impressed NCAA? That I pulled the name Cale Sanderson? I mean, I'm
very
enough to be
actually
dangerous. I know that guy was the big guy. So,
and
Yeah.
And you know, when the tournament comes up in March, I'm going to be begging you, like, hey, I know you need an expert to comment on this week. Because, you know, wrestling's the fastest growing sport in America right now. Girls wrestling, especially. And you've got all this dumb shit happening in the NCAA, and everyone always wants to, like, say, oh, well, we got to cut something to make more room for a football team that never wins. So let's cut wrestling.
Yeah.
And you'll see a wrestling team get cut somewhere. But then you have small schools like Utah Valley, Rider in New Jersey that have real teeth and real programs, and people show up and they sell tickets for a wrestling duel. But
I respect it as a sport. I don't understand the appeal of it, but I know that those wrestlers are sick athletes. It's a very insanely challenging discipline to get good at, with all kinds of very layered technique and strategy and all that other stuff. The cauliflower ear phenomenon is completely freakish to me to even watch but I know it's a byproduct of the sport. And the one evergreen wrestling story I always trot out here on my podcast was in seventh grade, when Vicky Frankhauser, the only girl in our gym class, very much a tomboy, tom girl type gal, she ended up getting paired against Reza Sahami, this Indian kid with a turban on, just by pure happenstance, because they lined us up against the wall. She was the only girl in the class for whatever reason, because she was, like, tough, you know? And they're like, okay, we go 1-1-1-1-1-1 down the line. We're watching everyone wrestle each other 1-1-1-1 down the line, random draw in the class, and we quickly calculate, oh, shit, she's going to wrestle Reza Sahami with his turban on. She ends up ripping his turban off with his, you know, hair, which is what, you know, they don't cut their hair, so it's got all swirled up in there. The hair's flying. She ends up pinning him. It was quite the spectacle. I can assure you, Cooper Intermediate School, Fred, was a buzzing for days and weeks after that event. And that's the extent of my wrestling knowledge.
But that should...
Yeah.
That sounds like a movie right there.
It was purely random. It was like, why is Vicky in this? Well, because she said, I can wrestle. And the gym teacher said, sure, you're the one girl, get in there. And then we did. And then they randomly lined us up, and that match happened. It was fantastic. The World Series, Super Bowl, the Olympics. The world's top athletes get to play in these top-level sporting events thanks to one thing: teamwork. And teamwork can also protect your financial legacy and your family's future. SelectQuote licensed insurance agents are the perfect teammates when shopping for customized, affordable life insurance. They can find you the right policy to keep your financial legacy safely in your family's end zone. Other life insurance brokers offer impersonal, one-size-fits-all policies that may cost you more and cover you less, while SelectQuote's licensed insurance agents work for you to tailor a life insurance policy for your individual needs in as little as 15 minutes. Head to selectquote.com and a licensed insurance agent will call you right away with the right policy for your life and your budget. Get the right life insurance for you for less at selectquote.com/Zabe. Go to selectquote.com/Zabe today to get started. That's selectquote.com/Zabe.
This time of year, a good hoodie is absolutely essential, but it's tough to find one that will last through the season. That's why the American Giant Classic Full Zip Hoodie is made to last a lifetime, so you can count on it to bring you comfort and warmth year after year. Slate Magazine called it the greatest hoodie ever made. And from cotton to zipper, it's made right here in the USA. With timeless style, heavyweight fleece, a double-lined hood, and reinforced elbow patches, you can depend on it for years to come. Snag the hoodie that will bring you comfort for life, the American Giant Classic Full Zip, and save 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com when you use code CLASSIC24 at checkout. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com. Code CLASSIC24.
They say to fully enjoy life, you should collect experiences, not things. Physical things you buy become outdated. They lose their appeal. But an experience lasts forever and grows over the years. That's why I want you to know about the Mervis Diamonds South Africa Safari coming this March 2025. Enjoy a five-star luxury adventure with native South African and longtime fixture on the DC diamond scene, Ronnie Mervis himself, leading the group. I've been on the trip twice, and it is spectacular. You'll fly to Cape Town, see the legendary Table Mountain, visit wine country and the spectacular coast. Then it's off to the Kapama Game Reserve to see the Big Five in their natural habitat: lion, elephant, Cape buffalo, leopard, and rhino. Finally, a tour of the Cullinan Diamond Mine in Johannesburg to see where the sparkly magic comes from. All told, 11 luxury days on the ground, all inclusive, for just $6,300 a person. This is it, people. The banger safari trip of a lifetime. I've been twice with Ronnie. You will not be disappointed. I guarantee it. Book now. Space is limited, and it's filling up quick. For more information, go to MervisDiamond.com/safari or call travel consultant John Almeida at 888-722-4872 and tell him I sent you. Remember, life is short. Collect memories, not things. As the leaves turn and the air gets crisp, it is time for some serious action. Bet on Lord Football, from heart-pounding college rivalries to the bone-crushing NFL matchups. But that's not all. The ice is getting cold and the courts are heating up. Get in on the NHL face-off and NBA tip-offs as both leagues kick off their seasons. And if you want to get really nuts, bet on the election. Won't that be fun? If you've been waiting for the right time to get in, the time is now. Make your winning move today. Sign up at mybookie.ag. Use promo code ZABE, Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo to be eligible for all promotions. Once again, promo code ZABE to get in on the sweet action. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere with MyBookie. Okay, let's pivot back to the whiskey. I got a story that I sent you that I said the next time I have you on, I'm going to ask you about, because it sounds like an extinction level event if it were to happen for my whiskey nerd buddies on the text thread that plagues you and me alike with ping, 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 ping all the time for the whiskey league.
I love it, though.
And that is my whiskey nerds, notably Big Mike, JB, a couple other guys to a lesser extent that hunt these whiskeys down, these rare releases at faraway stores. Charge is in the same boat. There is a bill, I believe it's in Ohio, in which they propose that if you buy a whiskey at a store, you have to open it before you leave the store, which would negate the resale value of an unopened sealed bottle of whiskey for the collectors, for the resellers, for everybody else. Yeah. Oh my God. Does this bill have a chance of passing? Has anyone else tried such a thing? And where do you fall on that one?
Yeah, so I'm very much against this for several reasons, but there have been attempts in state houses like this in the past. I think Minnesota had a bill not too long ago where they were trying to restrict some stores getting bottles. Usually there's a fight within the industry on the distribution side about who gets bottles, and that's played out a few times in the courts as well as legislature. But I don't like this at all. In full transparency, the state of Ohio has brought me in to do some events before for their stuff. So, like, I probably, am not someone – I'm someone that's very familiar with Ohio. Like, I'm very familiar with their state. I know them inside out.
Right.
And I will tell you that this bill is something that comes from a good place, and that the guy is trying to prevent people buying bottles in Ohio from Kentucky and Michigan and Minnesota, places like that, and then selling them out there on their Facebook pages, because Ohio is strict on what they can sell their products for. They cannot raise their prices above SRP. Whereas in Kentucky,
really?
I'm pretty sure Wisconsin too, you can go into a store and, this bottle of Woodford right here, which is like a $105, $125 bottle, a liquor store owner could mark it up to $500. They cannot do that in Ohio. So Ohio gets people coming in from other states, buying bottles and then selling them out in, you know, where they live. So that's the good place it comes from. The problem is you can't ask someone to open a bottle and put it in their car because, one, it's illegal to drive with an open bottle of alcohol.
Even if it's filled to the tippy top.
Yeah, the minute that illegal. This is cracked, the minute that that's cracked, that's considered an open container. So unless they put it in the trunk, they would be violating most likely an open container law.
So that's problem number one. The bigger problem is it would obliterate the hobby. And I'm not against the hobby of going out to find rare bottles and either collecting them for yourself or if you want to sell one, fine. I just don't partake in it. But you can't kill the frickin' hobby, man.
Yeah, this is like I said, like a lot of things in
well-intentioned
and well-intended, but this
poorly thought out.
I mean, don't they have some issues in Ohio when it comes to election season? You know,
I think they should... a million things that they could work on in Ohio and other states before this. So, is it close to happening? Do you think?
Now, from what I heard, this didn't have much momentum.
Okay.
I don't know where it is now, but when I looked into it, there wasn't much about it. But I think it's poor use of taxpayers' money to be thinking about something like this. Because even though I wish that the flipping would go away, I would never ask my constituents to vote for a bill or for my house leader to put forward a bill that would take up their time to do something else help homeless veterans or something like that. This is ridiculous.
Yeah. All right. So let's just do this. Once again, great Christmas idea. Buy a ticket for Fred's VIP party, for his bourbon party. It's called what again now at the Super Bowl Friday night of Super Bowl week in New Orleans?
It's Fred Minnick Live, and it's on February 7th. That's the Friday at the Marriott Warehouse District.
At the Marriott. Okay. And Marriott. And you can get a ticket by going to what website?
You can go to fredminnick.com, and you can find it all up on the bars, or you can go to etix.com, ETIX.com, and just search for Fred Minnick Live.
You're going to buy a couple tickets for this event, and you're going to get a nice, affordable Hampton Inn in Bro Bridge or New Iberia or Morgan City or Abbeville outside of New Orleans, and just drive on in. You're not going to have to pay $1 billion for hotels because the Super Bowl is there, and you're going to have a great time. There's Christmas gift number one. Christmas gift number two is a nice bottle of bourbon. Can you give me the Fred Minnick 5-minute guide to getting a nice bottle of bourbon as a gift for somebody or for yourself?
Yeah.
Because there's so many choices out there. How do you do it?
Yeah, there is. First of all, you got to know who you're buying for. If you're buying for someone that drinks Jack Daniels every day, I think Jack Daniels would be a great present for him. If you're buying for someone that gets, Wild Turkey, Maker's Mark, Woodford Reserve, they're typically staying in that affordable realm. I would suggest asking the liquor store, hey, my friend really likes Woodford Reserve. What's something in that same flavor profile that is maybe $20 more? And they will take you usually to something that's made by the same company, Brown-Forman. If you have a high-level bourbon geek like Big Mike or JB or Zabe.
Oh, there's no satisfying those two guys. Me, I'm easily satisfied. But yes, if you're going for a high-end guy, what do you get them?
For a high-end guy, you got to really see what they like. But I point toward people to go to something that has a couple good reviews. It's cash strength, because most of the bourbon geeks out there like things that are cash strength. JB, for example, that man, I swear he would drink Jack Daniel's Coy Hill from the bottle every day of his life if he could.
Oh, and that's, he can put it back. Yes, he can.
Yeah, it's like 140 proof. That's good stuff. But get something that's cash strength, because bourbon geeks want to water it down themselves. They don't necessarily want to cut down to 80 or 90 proof. They want to be able to alter it themselves to their liking. So, yeah, there's some good stuff out there. And there's here's one I'll throw at you. You can find it in a lot of stores right now. If this is if you can find it, Knob Creek 18-year-old is affordable and super, super tasty.
What does that go for anyone who gets a bottle of Knob Creek 18? You say affordable.
Well, hold on. Let me check my – I think I just bought it. So I think it was like
– Whoa.
I think it was
whoa.
$125.
Wait a minute. You buy whiskey with your own monies? With the whiskey that is given to you, gifted to you, asked to be tasted by you, by the makers, you buy some?
I still buy it because, one, they often will just send me like a little
– sampler?
You know, sample like that.
And if it's good, you'll want the whole bottle.
I want the whole bottle, especially if I'm putting it in my top 100 for a tasting. And because I have the repours.
Right.
And you know, some of these whiskey people, I'm like, I don't really trust you that you sent me something that was yours. So I will go out and buy a bottle.
Wow.
Just to compare it. Yeah.
Very, very Kennedy like. Trust but verify. Trust.
I'm very trust but verify.
But verify.
Yeah. I spend a lot of money on whiskey, Zabe.
that's the wildest Easter egg revelation about you, Fred, and I've known you for quite a while now that I have had ever, that you actually spend money on whiskey. God bless you for that. I love it. You're supporting the very thing that is also your job and your lifestyle, and I appreciate that.
That's right.
Hey, back to Jack Daniels. I once got, I think the first year I won the Whiskey League, in Guillotine, I got somebody sent me a Jack Daniel's Sinatra Select bottle, which comes in this exorbitantly beautiful case, and it is $160. I'm looking at online right now. Is it worth the $160 for a Jack Daniel's fan?
Yeah, it is. Yeah, I'm actually surprised it's that inexpensive. If you have, is that the number for the very first Sinatra release? Because you got, I remember when you won that, that was the first Sinatra release. That wasn't like the second or third. There's been several.
I don't know which number it is, but I mean, so what is it other than just the flavor profile that Sinatra liked?
Yeah, they come. Yeah, well, they come out with different batches, but it is age, it's proof, but it's a great whiskey. I love Jack Daniels. I think even the standard 80 proof Jack Daniels, I think is a great like baseball game pour or football game pour. Like when I'm at a game, I love Jack Daniels.
A go-to.
Because that's what everybody has, unless Jim Beam's a sponsor of the stadium,
right,
at Wrigley Field,
right.
But
so that's so basically a Jack Daniels to you. And I think a lot of people who are whiskey enthusiasts are interested. Like, I wonder what Fred thinks is a good go-to, everyone's got it, any kind of time, whiskey. Jack Daniels would be it. Even though
Jack Daniels would be in that list, yeah.
Yeah, even though it's a Tennessee product, not Kentucky.
Yeah, yeah, but they're headquartered in Louisville, so, you know.
And why is it called Tennessee whiskey? The backstory real quick on that.
Yeah, so Tennessee whiskey is basically bourbon, but it has to go through a charcoal filtration or mellowing process before they put it in the barrel. So they take the distillate.
What does it have to?
That is the law under the Tennessee legislature.
Got it.
And it's actually a state law there.
In Tennessee, it has to go through a charcoal distillate.
It goes through a charcoal mellowing process. The distillate has to go through little chunks of charcoal before it goes into the barrel.
When did they pass that law and why?
It was passed in 2013 there because they could never get the feds to approve Tennessee whiskey. So if you go back and you look at trade agreements where other countries have to adhere to our terms and standards of what is bourbon, they would always get them to put in a clause that Tennessee whiskey was straight bourbon that was made in Tennessee and had to go through the charcoal mellowing process.
Wow.
But there was a bunch, there was a few distilleries that were trying to truck in whiskey from other states and call it Tennessee whiskey and truck in Tennessee whiskey into Kentucky and call it Kentucky bourbon. There's a whole bunch of, remember what I said? Like, I don't trust a lot of the distillers.
Yeah.
It all stems from stuff like this. They do dumb shit all the time.
So the Tennessee whiskey is a brand protection concept that helps enhance what, you know, Jack Daniel's is, much like bourbon whiskey is also a protected, identified brand thing that has international force when it comes to trade. Can you explain that?
Yeah, so bourbon in 1964 was declared to be a unique product of the United States, and it had to do with the bourbon distillers were trying to get exports overseas, but they were getting very highly tariffed, and nobody was respecting bourbon, and the French came back and said, well, what's special about bourbon? There's bourbon made in Mexico and Canada. Like, there's nothing that's unique about it like there is with scotch. So they passed a law that basically forced other countries to give them geographical recognition, much like we do with scotch, champagne, cognac, you know, things like that around the world when it comes to liquid. So in 64, they passed that. And now anytime that anyone has a free trade agreement with us, we go through a negotiation process and they have to sign a form or we negotiate their terms of what is bourbon. And so like Australia, if you look at our federal code, bourbon has to be bottled at no lower than 80 proof. But in Australia, you can get bottles of bourbon that are 74 proof because the Australians negotiated that based on their tax code. And so that Australia and New Zealand are the only countries where you can get 74 proof bourbon.
That is wild. I love that part of the whole industry. And by the way, you can read about all this stuff in one of Fred's many books, starting with what's a good starting point for those who are...
I think Bourbon Curious is a good book for people to get started on. You get all the basics and just enough geekdom to bring you to the next level.
And I learned today, I was today years old when I learned that Fred actually spends money, and not an insignificant amount of it, on bourbon himself, but also that Jack Daniel's is basically high 90s outside black as a pitch in bourbon. Like, I always joke about, you know, that girl, she's high 90s outside black on the plate. Not fancy, but gets the fucking job done.
You know?
It'll work. It doesn't need to trick you with anything. No curveballs, no screwballs, splitters. No, 95 outside black. Yeah! You're out of here. So I love that. All right. Well, I'm going to go to the store right now, believe it or not. I got some other things to pick up. And there is a liquor store right next to the grocery store. And I'm going in there, Fred. And I'm going to hit you with a couple of photos via text. And you're going to go,
got it.
Yes, no, no, yes, yes, hell yes. And I will have my stash for the holidays.
You got it. That's a date.
All right. Fred Minnick podcast. Look for it wherever you get your podcasts. Become more bourbon knowledgeable and listen to his conversations with athletes as they get into the game as well. And I will see you down in New Orleans in 48 days, my friend.
Looking forward to it.
All right, buddy. Merry Christmas.
Cheers. Merry Christmas.
Yes. Dirty deeds. Too much corruption and crime in the streets. They say to fully enjoy life, you should collect experiences, not things. Physical things you buy become outdated. They lose their appeal. But an experience lasts forever and grows over the years. That's why I want you to know about the Mervis Diamonds South Africa Safari coming this March 2025. Enjoy a 5-star luxury adventure with native South African and longtime fixture on the DC diamond scene, Ronnie Mervis himself, leading the group. I've been on the trip twice, and it is spectacular. You'll fly to Cape Town, see the legendary Table Mountain, visit wine country and the spectacular coast. Then it's off to the Kapama Game Reserve to see the Big Five in their natural habitat: lion, elephant, Cape buffalo, leopard, and rhino. Finally, a tour of the Cullinan Diamond Mine in Johannesburg to see where the sparkly magic comes from. All told, 11 luxury days on the ground, all-inclusive, for just $6,300 a person. This is it, people. The banger safari trip of a lifetime. I've been twice with Ronnie. You will not be disappointed. I guarantee it. Book now. Space is limited, and it's filling up quick. For more information, go to MervisDiamond.com/safari or call travel consultant John Almeida at 888-722-4872 and tell him I sent you. Remember, life is short. Collect memories, not things. As the leaves turn and the air gets crisp, it is time for some serious action. Bet on Lord Football, from heart-pounding college rivalries to the bone-crushing NFL matchups. But that's not all. The ice is getting cold and the courts are heating up. Get in on the NHL face-off and NBA tip-offs as both leagues kick off their seasons. And if you want to get really nuts, bet on the election. Won't that be fun? If you've been waiting for the right time to get in, the time is now. Make your winning move today. Sign up at mybookie.ag. Use promo code ZABE, Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo to be eligible for all promotions. Once again, promo code ZABE to get in on the sweet action. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere with MyBookie.